Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
So we don't know yet the injury status of a couple running backs, but the Chiefs indeed not only bring in Spencer Ware, but sign him to a deal. So where are we at on running backs today?
Yeah, that's a great question. We reported it first yesterday here on 610 Sports Radio that about 9 o'clock that Spencer Ware was in for a workout yesterday. And lo and behold, Spencer Ware and also Sharkhandrick West was brought in yesterday for a workout. So you're going back to the well.
Well, then he retired.
And then he retired because he didn't get the job.
Obviously.
Yeah, it didn't work out well for him,
that
right?
Was a telltale sign. Yeah. Like, yeah, I guess I'm done.
Yeah, I guess I am done. Yeah. The Chiefs didn't want me back. So you know what? Screw this. I'm not going to play anymore. And I don't blame him. I mean, once you hit that level and you start to realize that, you know, the tread has come off the tires, you probably just want to go out gracefully. It's never easy for an athlete to say that I'm done.
Yeah.
You know, and I tell athletes all the time, man, play as long as you possibly can. I'm taking that from you because you're like, yeah, stay in there as long as you possibly can.
Why retire?
Yeah, before you get a real job and have to
retires you, why are you retiring?
Why are you retiring?
You're not going to get a check like that anywhere else, so
no,
keep playing.
You're not. Keep on going, man, as long as you possibly can. And so I think Sharkhandrick West tried to keep on going as long as he can, and then he got into the situation where it looked like somebody retired him, and he didn't retire himself, but it was it.
We brought you in to tell you you should retire?
Yeah, we brought you in.
Wow.
We looked at you.
Ouch.
Yeah, you don't have it. You probably should hit the bricks.
Yeah, that's a harsh reality.
And move on to, you know, whatever is next in
life for you. Ultimate playbook?
That's exactly right. Yeah, I think that's kind of where it went with him. I think he realized it, though. Good, more power to him, man. Go do what you want and have some fun doing it. But I think that, you know, the Spencer Ware, you know, conversation that we started yesterday here in the 9 o'clock hour on 610 Sports Radio and talked about him bringing in for a workout. Ultimately, I don't know if the Chiefs officially announced it yet, but ultimately ends up in him coming back to the Kansas City Chiefs, and that should kind of tell you where they are with the Williamses right now and where they are with the running back position, that they just needed a warm body, if you will, to come in here. And for me, I'm not looking at it like Spencer Ware is a difference maker for this football team. And I think a lot of it yesterday, I was looking at social media. The most minor of moves on social media sometimes, Josh, create the most major of conversations on social media. And there was a lot of people yesterday, I can't believe they released Garrett Dieter. I think most people you would ask, I can't believe Garrett Dieter was still on the team. You know, like one of those deals, like you didn't really know that he was still around, let alone being released by the team yesterday. But the Spencer Ware situation to me is a bigger picture situation than it is just Spencer Ware coming back to the Kansas City Chiefs. It's a signing to me that shows more and more about the load management factor of, you know, LeSean McCoy. And we're joking about that. And we've joked about the load management because he has had the fumbles and hasn't gone back in after the big-time fumbles and whatnot. But I really believe that is a concern for the Chiefs going down the stretch, because the more I think about it and the more I look at it, the more I do relate it, as we talked about a little bit yesterday, to 2010 with Jamal Charles and Thomas Jones and having both of those guys fresh and ready to go for the end of the season and the postseason. You're going to need LeSean McCoy in January to win football games and to advance in the postseason. And I don't want to
that there was the complimentary Jamal Charles with it.
Well, sure. Yeah, absolutely. And I thought Damian Williams was, you know, could have been that guy. And maybe LeSean at the beginning of the year was going to compliment Damian, you know, more than Damian was going to compliment LeSean, because Damian was the guy here. And then, you know, you brought in LeSean McCoy, and, you know, Darwin Thompson never really, you know, emerged to be that guy yet, that can be kind of that compliment for you. So I don't think you can count on him. But I think ultimately what the Chiefs are looking at, and what they've been looking at for a while now, Josh, is you've got LeSean McCoy, really the only season running back on this roster right now that's played through an NFL season, that's been in the postseason, that understands, you know, how to win in the postseason and all of that kind of stuff. But he's 31 years old. And in order to have your best shot at winning in the postseason, you're going to need a viable running game. And I think we got to give credit to Andy Reid on this, because Andy Reid, you know, it's easy to criticize and, oh, he doesn't use the running game and he doesn't know what he's doing and all that kind of stuff. But we're talking about games in October and November and complaining about that. I think Andy Reid all year long, Josh, has been gearing up for January this year and making sure that this team is as healthy and as fresh and as ready to go as possible in January as you can be. And that's why I think you saw that week off for LeSean McCoy, and also why I think you're seeing Spencer Ware brought in to take a lot of these carries away from LeSean McCoy. So when January rolls around, he's playing like it's, you know, his body's in November as opposed to his body's in January. And so I think the Chiefs really are managing this situation the right way, because to me, if you don't have an effective running game in the postseason, you're not going to be able to win because of the weather, because of the places where you're going to be playing. And because I think, you know, in a couple of these postseason games, whether it's New England, whether it's Baltimore, even Buffalo to an extent, you may want to play a little keep away on offense too and grind that clock and run that football and be able to move the ball down the field and take time off the clock to keep Lamar Jackson and Tom Brady and Josh Allen and, you know, those guys on the bench as you try to advance in the postseason. So I think they're doing this the right way. I think Spencer Ware is going to come in and he's going to get some carries now, and he's going to be able to preserve LeSean McCoy, because to me, if this team expects to win in advance, a healthy and a fresh and an effective LeSean McCoy, I think, is going to be the number one factor in the postseason. You have to run the football, and there's nobody else on the roster that you can truly rely on, air quotes, rely on, to run that football in January other than LeSean McCoy. So preserve his ass now. Let Spencer Ware take some carries now, a guy that knows the system, a guy that you know you can count on. And once January rolls along, then it becomes the LeSean McCoy show.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I've long considered the LeSean McCoy thing like the Andy Pett project. It's just that we don't know, you know, the full scale plan. It's not like someone's coming out and saying, this is a pitcher who's coming back from the elbow shot. He's on a pitch count.
Right.
We're going to limit him. You know how they sit down on the bench and tell you all these things in baseball, right?
Yeah.
Normally, if that was the case with LeSean McCoy, we'd have a little better picture of what's going on.
But
that's what it seems like, that now they are truly saving him for the postseason. Like, we feel like he's got this many more reps and this many more plays.
Mm-hmm.
And, actually, we'll hear from Priest Holmes coming up at 6:15. He's our 60th anniversary interview, and he kind of discussed that. That was that post-injury, like, plays.
Right.
I got like 10 plays a game.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to use me for that, that's what I got. I feel like that's they've got that number, whatever it is, with LeSean McCoy at this point in time.
Sure.
Like, he's most effective for us if he can do this, this, and this, and we need to save him to do those.
And we need to save him for January, because if he's not effective in January, then it's over and it doesn't matter, because that's what matters most for this team. And I think they've been using LeSean McCoy all year long to kind of gear up to have him fresh and ready to go when you need him the most, and that is in the postseason. And if you don't have an effective running game, Josh, I don't care if you can throw the ball all around the joint. You've got to have an effective running game. You have to be able to grind games out. You have to be able to put games away. And the way you do that, my friend, is with a good running game.
Not good running. Well, actually, good running game last night for apparently Charleston Southern.
Who?
Charleston Southern.
I've never heard of them.
The Buccaneers rolled into Columbia last night and handed Missouri their third straight basketball loss.
Is that what a pirate charges for corn? A Buccaneer?
A Buccaneer.
Yeah.
The Charleston Southern Buccaneers, who are now riding a two-game win streak. They beat Missouri and Delta State.
Back-to-back wins over Missouri and Delta State.
This was coming back after a 35-point loss to Southern Utah.
Who?
Southern Utah. They also lost by 48 prior to that to third-ranked Michigan State, not a terrible thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then by 29 at Dayton.
Okay.
And then Furman got them by 44.
Mm.
And then they had a narrow 14-point loss to North Carolina A&T.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
And they won in Columbia last night. Yikes.
Joined out courtside by Mizzou head coach Konzo Martin. Your thoughts on that one?
Tough one. You know, I've been in this thing a long time. Probably one of the toughest ones. You know.
Talk 980 last night.
Yeah.
Tiger Network. The opening line from Mike Kelly. Well, Your thoughts on that one?
I don't know. What are you supposed to say as an announcer? Well, to tell you what, the Tillman kid looked good last night for you, Coach, huh? I mean, like what are you
talk
supposed to say?
Talk about the loss.
Yeah.
Yikes. That's gross. That is really gross. That's a really bad loss.
Well, that's one of the worst losses this year in college basketball, and it's one of the best wins this year in college basketball.
And you've got to do it on the floor. Coach, thanks. We appreciate your time. Thank you. Tigers head coach Konzo Martin. His team falls tonight 68-60. We're back after this on the Central Bank Tiger Network from Learfield. IMG College.
Yeah, out.
Yeah, out.
Suck it out.
Yeah, no kidding. Get out of that one. 26-point underdog is
that
one
was
of the
whole
biggest...
post game, by the way. It was 24 seconds.
24-second long post game show? Wow, that's a good one. I like
not
it.
Not quite.
Why would you stay on any longer after losing to Charleston Southern? You're 26-point favorite. It is one of the biggest upsets this year in college basketball. Mm-hmm. Ranks up there with Kentucky losing and Duke losing last week. I mean, this is one of those losses that people
I don't know that. I mean, this team got drilled. Five games in a row.
Yeah.
Drilled.
Drilled. Absolutely destroyed.
But then turn around and wins at Mizzou.
You get that you get that success against Delta State, and then, you know, you build on that, I guess, against Missouri. But
I guess so.
I don't know that this is going to keep them out of the tournament. This could be one of those bad losses that at the end of the year you're looking at, well, if you didn't lose a Charleston Southern as a 26-point favorite, maybe you get into the tournament. But that really is a bad loss.
26-point dog.
Yeah, that's not good. You're not going to win many games and garner many fans by losing to Charleston Southern. A Tuesday night in Columbia, that's hopping down there. Let me say this, though. I was looking on the social medias yesterday, and the one thing that I'm seeing, and this is not even Missouri-related, but it is Missouri-related, it is a lot of crowd shaming that goes on now. And there's a Twitter feed called Empty Seats Galore, I think, and it tweets out all the arenas and stadiums and whatnot that don't have a lot of people at games.
Must be a very active account then.
It is. It is a very active account. But I think it's really, I don't even know if ironic is the term, neat is the term that I'm going to use. It's really neat that people sitting on their couch are mocking arenas that are empty. Well, you're sitting on your couch. Why are you mocking empty arenas from your couch? If it was such a great event, you would be there as well. And I find it just kind of very, you know, lowbrow, low-hanging fruit to sit there, and last night it was the University of Missouri, to mock the University of Missouri and the fan base for not showing up to a game against Charleston Southern.
Seems like it was kind of warranted.
Yeah, their team didn't even show up to play Charleston Southern. And so if you're going to sit at home and mock crowd sizes, man, that's just a little ridiculous because you're not at the game. If you're at the game and you're upset about the crowd size, okay, that's one thing. I understand that. But if you're sitting from the comfort of your home on a couch watching Twitter and mocking the crowd size at an arena or at an event, well, you're part of the problem. You're not going to that event either. So why should other people go to that game last night? Like if you're mocking, you know, Missouri having 2,500 people or whatever it was in attendance last night and no students there last night, and you're sitting there on Twitter going, oh, look at Missouri, can't get any fans there. Well, why aren't you there? I mean, why aren't you going to that game?
That'd be more specific if you're mad about,
yeah,
why aren't people going to the game,
right,
and you're not going.
And you're not going, yeah, then why aren't you going to the game? And I think it answers itself. It's not a good enough event to spend money on. Like, it's not worth your dollar to spend money to go watch Missouri play Charleston Southern. It's not worth your dollar to watch Kansas play East Tonale State. I understand that. The entertainment dollar is stretched very thin. And it's really, other than the NFL, and even the NFL isn't selling out every venue, but other than the NFL, it seems like every single sporting event that we see today is having a very rough time selling out their events and making it a place where people need to be. I just think, and it goes back to the conversation we had about baseball earlier in the baseball season, this stuff is way too oversaturated, and there are just too many of these events. There's too many college basketball games. There's too many Major League Baseball games. There's way too many NBA games whose television ratings are down 20% this year. I mean, that's taking a plummet as well. I think there are too many offerings right now for the sports fan, and that's why the NFL is the best there is, and that's why ultimately I'm going to be okay with the expansion to 17 games because I understand there's going to be that neutral site game that's worked in, but it's why the NFL doesn't need to expand. It's why the NFL doesn't need to grow, because you don't want to get to a point where there's just too much. I talked to my buddy Joe yesterday or 2 days ago, calls me, he says, I got a great idea. Let's make the NFL 32 weeks long and everybody has a bye every other week. And I'm like, no, we're not going to do that. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. He goes, and then each fantasy week will take 2 weeks to play a fantasy game. I'm like, no, you don't want to oversaturate it. That's why other sports are failing right now, why NASCAR isn't doing well, why baseball on a national level isn't doing well, why we're seeing college basketball, you know, suck a tailpipe right now, because these sports are offering way too many events. The NFL's got it right. Give me 8 home games, give me 8 away games, give me once a week, and let's get after it and make it something that is really big and unique and something that you want to be a part of. And these other sports can take a lesson from the NFL. You lop off about 30% of these college basketball games. Maybe you're not selling a 4-pack that includes Texas, West Virginia, Tennessee, and Iowa State like Kansas is doing right now.
It's a great package.
It's a great package, yeah. But Kansas is selling that package.
Yeah. Want to go to 4 games? Those would be the 4 you want to go to.
Good Lord.
Sounds like a good idea. 03 versus 19. We'll discuss next.
Fesco in the morning.
Each and every Wednesday, we do a 60th anniversary Chiefs interview celebrating their 60 years. This week, we will talk to Priest Holmes. Coming up a little bit later on in the show, the full interview comes your way at 9:15. As we got a chance to catch up with Priest yesterday. Elusive as always. No, I'm kidding. Hard to tackle as always. But we'll chat the full interview with him. His thoughts on coming to Kansas City. His initial use, I thought, was interesting as well. You remember, none of us had really heard of Priest Holmes when he was being brought to Kansas City. Had a little success with Baltimore in like one season. You're like, oh, who's this kid? Back in the day where you didn't really have like a unknown running back that surfaces, which is the norm now, right?
Sure, remember? Absolutely.
You used to just draft a running back and they were to perform. Now we live in the age where you have surprise running backs all over the place. I feel like Priest kind of was like one of the first that was like a surprised, not high draft pick who suddenly had a good season and then was in demand.
It's crazy how the running back position has kind of changed over the years, though. I mean, you used to know every single running back and they were big time deals and whatnot. Now running backs have become a dime a dozen around the NFL. But I remember the day the first OTA that I went to that he was signed here in Kansas City, and I was working with Don Fortune at the time here on KNBC and producing his afternoon show. And he's like, I never heard of this guy before. I don't know. And I booked him as a guest. I remember that story, and I booked him as a guest. And I never heard of this guy. I don't know that he's going to be anything. I said, I think he's going to be a pretty good football player. I kind of like this guy, and I think it'd be good to have him on the show. And so we had Priest Holmes on the show, and sure enough, he took off. But it wasn't immediate success with the Kansas City Chiefs. It wasn't really until week 3 against Washington that he kind of became that starting running back. And for me, the thing that I remember most about him was looking at the game against Pittsburgh in like week 6, week 7. It was at Arrowhead Stadium, and he had a huge game that day. And that's when you knew you really had something there with Priest Holmes. And he kind of just took off and became a running back. And, that kind of just kind of continued to fill the narrative of running backs here in Kansas City from, you know, Marcus Allen to Christian Okoye to Joe Delaney to, you know, Priest Holmes to Larry Johnson. Like, we've had a history of really, really good, stellar running backs in Kansas City, and Priest Holmes is one of the best of those, Josh.
He told us, though, he came to Kansas City expecting to start, but it didn't begin that way.
For the most part, you know, I was excited about being in Kansas City, and I think that the first 2 games definitely wasn't demonstrating what my ability was when I first got there. I think Tony Richardson had over 15 carries. I may have had 6 carries in the first game, 7 carries in the second game. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, I thought y'all just brought me in to be y'all starting running back, and here I am getting the crumbs on carries. But Tony Richardson, before we went to Washington, went to Coach Ramil, Al Saunders, and said, hey, if we are going to win and if we are going to make this a productive offense, you've got to get Priest the ball and you got to let him run. And I'm willing to block for him. So I think that was huge compliments about Tony Richardson in terms of what he said to the coaching staff and gave me an opportunity to really be highlighted. And then there we go to Washington Redskins, and the rest is history. It just really takes off after that.
How about T. Rich? Yeah, it'd be better if this guy ran the ball.
That's an incredible story, right? Yeah, it really is.
We'd be a lot better if he runs the ball. I'll block and all, but he's better. Let's go.
I wonder if that's 2019 talking, or if that's very the way well it really went be. Down that's in fine. 2001,
any good story has a little aging to it.
Of course.
Ripens.
That's exactly right, yeah. But I thought it was a really good story, and our conversation with Priest I thought was really, really good, and he shared some stuff that we've never really talked about before. So 9:15, our 60th anniversary interview brought to you by Frontier Justice, will will be aired at 9:15, and you don't want to miss that entire conversation with Priest Holmes, because I think he was really, really good, and we talked about some stuff where he went, really, I didn't know that. I had no idea that that actually happened. So, yeah, that's coming up at 9:15 this morning, and if you miss it, you can always go to radio.com and download the app and check it out on our podcast page at 610sports.com in the on-demand section, where it will be immediately after the show. So I'm excited about that. Excited to hear from Priest Holmes coming up in about 3 hours from now.
Now, we asked him this offense versus his offense, because his offense is pretty doggone good.
Yeah, it really was.
And he gave this one the nod.
Right.
19 the nod.
He did, which I was surprised by, I think. Well, from a player standpoint.
Yeah.
Because you played in that offense.
I know, but I feel like maybe it's just like 5 years ago might have had a different answer.
Maybe, you know? Yeah.
Like right away you're like, oh, that's mine.
Right.
This time he's like, no, that one. But. Yeah. Other than the quarterback.
Right.
And he'd put Tyreek Hill in that 0-3 offense.
Sure. I'd swap him and Johnny Morton out.
The rest of that group.
That's better. It's better than what we have here. Oh, yeah. Other than the quarterback. And look, that's no knock against Trent Green. We're talking about Patrick Mahomes here, okay, who can sling the ball all over the place. So if you put Patrick Mahomes behind that offensive line with Priest Holmes, with Tony Gonzalez, with Eddie Kinnison, and you swap out Johnny Morton and Tyreek Hill, those are really the only two changes that I would make. And I would say overall, I think if you're looking from top to bottom, I really do think that 0-3 team had better talent on it and was a better offense overall than the offense that we're seeing right now, save the quarterback.
You want to play playoff football, Bob?
Yeah, right. I do want to play playoff football.
Right?
Yeah,
We've been talking about running the ball and doing that stuff. I go with the road graders and the running back.
Right. Could you imagine this offensive line and Priest Holmes right now?
And give them a semblance of a defense.
Yeah, and give them some sort of defense. Like, even if you put this defense right now, which is much better than it was at the beginning of the year, if you put this defense on that 0-3 team, I think you probably beat the Indianapolis Colts that day, and I think maybe you go further into the postseason, and maybe you're talking about a potential, Super Bowl run. Now, obviously, you had to get through Manning after you got through Tom Brady and whatnot, or not Manning. I'm sorry, you had to get through Brady after you got through Manning. But I would definitely take the majority of that 2003 offense in their prime over the offense that we have now. And this offense is going out there and setting all kinds of records and doing all kinds of really good things. But I think when you look across the offensive line, when you look at Hall of Famer, All-Pro, Pro Bowler along that offensive line, that it's hard to pass that up, man. And even if you want to take John Tate out of the equation at right tackle and put Mitchell Schwartz in there, could you imagine Mitchell Schwartz playing right tackle back in that day with that 2003 offensive line with Willie Rofe and Will Shields and Brian Waters and Casey Wigman? And then, you just put you put Mitchell Schwartz in there at the right tackle spot instead of John Tate. Not that John Tate was bad, because he was really good too. But, I mean, that's a hell of an offensive line. I mean, could you imagine giving Patrick Mahomes that offensive line, Priest Holmes and Tony Gonzalez?
Pretty good.
You think the red zone numbers would be a lot better than they are right now for the Kansas City Chiefs? Hell yeah, because Tony Gonzalez was money inside the 20-yard line back in the day. So I really loved that offense back then, and it really is going to take a lot to knock that 2003 offense off the pedestal of being the best offense in Chiefs history, other than that quarterback, man. And that's, again, no knock against Trent Green, because he was really, really good for this organization. But it shows you how much better Patrick Mahomes is right now. And if you could take the best of both worlds and mash them together and give this defense to 2003, we may be talking about a Super Bowl championship. But I think ultimately, if you asked Dick Vermeil and Carl Peterson, you gave them enough truth serum, they would all say, man, we really neglected that defense during Dick Vermeil's days here in Kansas City. We thought we were just going to be able to go out there and outscore everybody, and we really, 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 really forgot about that defense, and that is a major mistake and ultimately something that cost the Kansas City Chiefs a shot to win a Super Bowl.
Coming up, one person in Kansas City doing something so incredible for others, we decided to put him on the show. We'll discuss, plus we shouted out 69306. Anything you'd like to discuss next.
Fesco in the morning.
On the text line. We will shout it out coming up in just a few minutes. Anything you'd like to discuss, we will shout it out coming up in just a few minutes. Think he'll be huffing and puffing already?
I would imagine it's been an hour already, I think.
Is there chafing already underway?
Oh, you got to chafe. You got to chafe.
That might be the case. Dave Scredda, the Associated Press, friend of the show. He's usually out bird-dogging Andy Reid, the Royals, KU, wherever he needs to go covering a sporting event. But today, he's riding a bike and raising money for Toys for Tots. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Are you well into this at biking adventure that you're going to be doing all day today for like 12 hours? You're out of your mind.
yeah, about 12 more hours. Got about an hour and 10 minutes done, so like 25 miles in already.
That's not bad. That's moving.
That's a good start.
Yeah, it is a good start. So where are you today? Where are you riding, and how can people come see and make a donation?
Yeah, so I'm working with my health club, which is Genesis, and there's a lot of locations all over Kansas City, but I'm at the one on Ridgeview at K-10. So you could Google it, or a lot of people know where it is. It's by that new massive youth soccer complex out there.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to be a member today. You could just come in and ride. Anybody can do it. If you mentioned that you heard me on the radio, you can come basically all of December for free. And it's just a ride for Toys for Tots, and you can come and bring a toy, cheer me on, and watch me grimace probably by 4:30 or 5 o'clock.
So you started
4:30 or 5 o'clock.
That's pretty good. I mean, so you started at 5. Now. Is that what time you started at 5 o'clock? 5:30?
Yeah, I hopped on about 5:15.
Okay.
So there's 5 actual classes throughout the day. So I just finished the first one that started at 5:30. And then I'll be riding in between all the classes. And we have Christmas movies that'll be playing and music in between too. So, you can pretty much hop in anytime all day. And anybody that brings a toy will have a chance to win some cool prizes. Chiefs donated some stuff, and the Royals, Witt signed a ball, and Jorge signed a ball, Tyrann Mathieu signed a jersey. So we got a bunch of stuff that we're giving away too. So, anybody should come out and make a donation for Toys for Tots.
All right, so bring a toy, the Genesis Health Club at K-10 in Ridgeview. You'll be there until 6 o'clock roughly tonight riding a bike. You hopefully get 250 miles in. Is there a goal that you have toy-wise, money-wise, that you're trying to raise?
No, I mean, if I only got one toy out of it, that's one kid that's going to be happy at Christmas. I want to then. So I think we've got over $1,000 and maybe about 100 toys already. So it'd be nice to get a few more.
Thanks. All right. So,
Have you been training for this?
Well, you guys know that I ride a lot of bikes.
Right.
So I've done rides a bunch of times. I've done a lot of long distance rides. So I guess that in itself is training. But I definitely have been putting in some extra time the last couple of months.
What is the longest time you've ever ridden consecutively?
outside, probably 8 hours.
Okay.
But wow. You know, that's a little different too, because, you know, you can coast and stop pedaling, and, you know, there's nice downhills to rest.
There's also uphills.
When you're on a spin bike, if you stop, well, true.
Yeah.
But if you're on a spin bike, if you stop pedaling, you stop. So it's pretty much nonstop for the next 12 hours.
All right. So what? Like,
did you bring a comfy seat?
Yeah. How's that working for you? Yeah.
No. I mean, I've got my bike shorts on, so.
Sweet. That helps. Can't wait to see those later.
With you, so, yeah.
All right, before we let you get out of here.
Might be a little numb by the end of today.
No doubt, yeah.
Quite possible.
Question. What prompted this, man? What gave you the impetus, the dream, the vision to do something like this?
I just, you know, growing up, my parents didn't have a whole lot. And what they did have was a desire to make Christmas really special and meaningful for me and my brother. And I think there's a lot of kids that Christmas, instead of being a happy, joyous time, is kind of sad. So hopefully I can change that for at least some of them.
All right, my man. Love you. You're doing great work out there. It's amazing what you're doing today. Keep on pedaling. I'll be out there at some point bringing some toys for you. So I hope to see you in full force when I get out there, or, you know, around 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock today. You better not be, you know, dying on me. I expect full effort when I get out there.
I will be sprinting the minute you come in. I guarantee it.
All right, very good. Dave Skretta, the Associated Press, with us. He's out at the Genesis Health Club, K-10 in Ridgeview today, riding for 12 hours Toys for Tots. So if you have the opportunity, you're going out that way, you're coming in from Lawrence, you're in the neighborhood, stop by, drop off a toy, drop off a couple of bucks, and
jump on the bike next to him.
Or jump on the bike next to him. Yeah, pace with him and sit there and yell at him and go, yeah. mush, yeah. You know, that kind of stuff. So help our guy out. He's doing really cool things for the community, and it's a really great way and an easy way to kind of give back at this holiday time. So kudos to Dave, because I know, Josh, you and I did that. There's not a chance.
Yeah,
I talked about running at the J for 4 hours for the entire show. I can't imagine riding a bike for 12.
I look at those spin classes and get totally intimidated. Like, I just look at them like I got to avert my eyes. I
get
do that.
Intimidated by the Peloton commercial.
Yes, exactly. I always see the commercial. Like, it's 30 seconds. That looks like I can't do this.
Oh, no. I'm not going on there and getting yelled at by that woman.
Bob and I both tweeted out the information. If you can't get out there as well, he's accepting donations for Toys for Tots. So at Josh Klingler, at Bob Fesco on Twitter, you can check out the information. Dave's credit, the Associated Press. He's riding a bike for Toys for Tots today. So go ahead and support him. Pretty cool thing he's got going on. Let's shout it out. 69306. Shout it out. The guy who sits at the desk next to me at work hates hash browns.
How do you hate a hash brown, man? It's potatoes and it's fried and you put ketchup and salt on it and it's really good.
And now I feel obligated to hate the guy who sits at the desk next to me at work.
Yes, you should. Like, if you don't like a hash brown, man, like, you just don't like America. Now, I hate to be the killjoy in all this, but I saw a story yesterday. The potato crop is a shortage this year. We're down, like, 5% in potatoes this year. So French fries and hash browns and whatnot may be going up in price because the Idaho potato crop isn't as good as they expected.
Hmm. What brand of margarine do you all buy? I'm a country crock, says the text line.
Parquet?
Country crock, butter. Usually pretty good.
I don't margarine. I use Kirkland butter if we use any kind of butter at all.
I like the crock.
You do like the crock? All right.
Congrats to UMKC on making bracketology. Really?
Wow.
And they were 15th.
What?
They were 15th.
A 15 seed?
Yes.
They were a 15 seed? Yeah. They were? Yeah. Congratulations.
Wow.
Billy Donlin got that thing moving in the right direction.
That'd be awesome.
I like it.
That'd be awesome.
Kramer, if you knew this ahead of time, why aren't you giving us this information? Bracketology in December is vital information.
Well, he's filling in for Ryan, who usually gives us information.
I'll be more like Ryan.
Way after we need it.
Yeah, days later. Like, did you see the Chiefs sign Patrick Mahomes?
It's not any secret.
Thank you, Ryan.
Shout it out. What is something that smells terrible that you secretly like?
I don't know. Something that smells terrible.
I mean, I think everybody smells their own farts.
It doesn't bother you.
It doesn't bother you.
Yeah.
I usually laugh.
Yeah.
Only yesterday. It was bad on me.
Somebody else's, though, stinks.
I love the smell of gasoline.
I
don't know if
too.
You think that smells terrible, but I've always thought gasoline would make a nice cologne.
I'll tell you what's a smell that I don't think a lot of people like that doesn't bother me. Asphalt. Like the paving of a new road. That doesn't bother me. So maybe that's where I am on that one. The smell of grass is good, too.
I hate grass. I have allergies. So it's like,
okay. Yeah, but the fresh-cut grass, I really like that smell.
I think this was for you. What's your second favorite palindrome after Bob?
I would say poop.
Yeah. Somebody says Ryan tweeted bracketology last night. He probably did on this one. He didn't bother informing us.
Yeah.
Informing us that his ruse were in bracketology. So
I'm looking at bracketology right now, and I see Hofstra and South Dakota State as 15 seeds. I see UT. I do not see bracketology, and I do not see UMKC as a 15 seed in any of Joe Lenardi's recent bracketologies.
I don't know. I'll check out Ryan's feed. I don't know. I'm a teacher. Is it Christmas break yet? Can I show a movie till the break?
Yes, you can.
Yes.
We always knew our teachers were hungover when they... Well, you didn't at the time, but now looking back, when you saw a movie for that day, clearly the teacher was hungover.
Honey Greek yogurt mixed with creamy peanut butter. Surprisingly amazing.
Honey Greek yogurt with peanut... Yeah, I'm sure that is pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that one. I think
someone
that's
else
pretty good.
Texted in and wanted us to know they're going to tear up a Chick-fil-A breakfast here soon.
There you go. I like that.
It was the Andy Katz bracket.
Oh, the NCAA
one doesn't count.
He's NCAA.com now. He's official.
Yeah, that doesn't count, though. You got the only bracketology that I look at, the one that really matters the most, is the one that is done by Joe Lenardi. He's been the longest-running bracketologist that everybody knows, and I don't see UMKC, even in his, like, on the bubbles, last four in, first four out, next four out. I don't see UMKC anywhere on Lenardi's bracketology.
How come we only say, hey, stranger, to people we know?
It's really because you probably haven't seen that person in a long time and they feel like they're a stranger to you. I don't know.
I never say that.
Do you ever walk up to somebody you don't know and say, hey, stranger?
Yeah.
I don't.
That would be funny.
Maybe I'll do that today.
That'd actually be funny, though.
Yeah, I'll do
stranger.
That today. I may do that
you
today.
You probably would.
Yeah.
That's
hey, stranger.
Something like you do. Do you peel the string cheese or take a bite?
I think it just depends on the mood that you're in.
I peel that.
I try to peel it. I try to get my kids to peel it. And they're like, ah, they just shove it in. I'm like,
All right. Someone else says, I kind of like the smell of skunk.
What?
That's considered to be a bad smell.
Okay. That's a terrible smell. That thing never, that never goes away. That never dissipates.
Someone says they like the smell of asparagus pee.
Oh yeah, I do. Yeah, I don't know that I like the smell of it, but I know I feel like I'm healthy when I smell it.
Yeah, if you over asparagus.
Oh yeah.
I knew, worked with the guy who had, was on that diet.
The asparagus diet.
It was like a lot of it. I mean, it was just oozing out of his pores.
Oh, really?
It was bad.
That's disgusting.
Mix in a burger or something, man.
The dude was sweating out. Yeah.
Is this the week where we need to see Sammy Watkins have a breakout game?
I don't know.
Wouldn't hurt.
Who?
Yeah, exactly.
Where the hell has he been?
He had 0 for 0 the other day. Just like,
I mean, like, I want to love him up and buy in and believe, but my God, where has he been? Where have you gone, Sammy Watkins? The lonely eyes turn to you, my man.
He's still in week 1.
Who is Missouri going to hire for their head coach? I'm a high school coach, and I apply while my class is watching their movie.
But that's good. You should apply
their
for
Christmas
it.
Movie.
I saw something yesterday. There's a guy that said it was his dream job. You know, some guy with the name of like Skip or something like that. That's a coach at some smaller school. I forget who I saw. It said Missouri was his dream job.
Well, does that give you more points?
I don't know. Skip Prosser, maybe. I don't know how it was.
I don't think it was Skip Prosser, but.
It was somebody like that. Like, you're like, oh, yeah, I've heard that name before. Like, wasn't there like a Dickie Nutt or something like that that used to coach?
Dickie Nutt, yeah.
Yeah, what was it?
Houston Nutt and yeah. Dickie Nutt, I believe, right?
Yeah, like UAB's coach, maybe. I don't know what his name is. Sparky Anderson or something like that.
That's not it either.
What it was.
That is today's edition. It seems like a good point of time to end. Shout it out. Coming up, he gone. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
Willie Fritz was the name we were looking for.
That's the name, okay. Yes. Willie Fritz, the Tulane coach, interviewing for Arkansas's job. Somebody said that he said that Missouri was his dream job. If that's the case, well, great, go out and get him.
Then why is he interviewing at Arkansas?
Well, I mean, you got up the ante, Josh. I mean, you know who else is interviewing for Arkansas, apparently, allegedly, maybe, is Mike Leach at the Washington State University. If I'm Mike Leach, I don't know why I'm going to Arkansas. I think Arkansas is a bad job as well. I think Missouri's a bad job. I think Kansas, when it pops open soon, is going to be a bad job. I think there are a lot of bad jobs out there that are like named universities, but you just don't have a shot to win. And I think Missouri and Arkansas, as I said on Monday, would be better off moving to the Big 12, and their jobs would be more attractive, I think, in the Big 12.
I heard you talking about that on Monday. I'm like, I actually like that. I'm like, yeah, that'd be a great ad for the Big 12.
Right? It would be great for the Big 12 and great for those two universities, I think.
Great ad for the Big 12, and they'd have a chance to compete.
Yeah, so like, what is your goal here? Is your goal
Well, your
here
goal
to,
is to get a big check.
Right, but I mean, ultimately, is your goal as a football coach, let's take the money out of it, okay? Is your goal,
and the SEC gives you a chance to be in the playoff.
But does it? At Missouri, at Arkansas, does it really?
It's harder to win.
It's harder to win. Yeah. So if your goal is truly to win a national championship and give yourself the best route to get to a national championship, it's not playing in the SEC. I mean, yeah, the SEC may give you more money.
You got a 2-14 chance to be in the playoff versus a 1-9.
Yeah, right? We're 1-9 chance of being in it. So I think your odds of winning a championship, competing and contending and winning a championship in the Big 12, Josh, are a heck of a lot better. And if I'm Missouri or Arkansas right now, I'm looking at that going, yeah, we're not really going to have a chance here in the SEC ever, because where Missouri is right now, you're looking for another head football coach. Meanwhile, Florida and Georgia are moving along and they're turning along, and I don't care if Missouri's in the East and that's supposed to be the easier route. It's not. And I'm going to tell you this. In our lifetime, we will never see Missouri play for a national championship if they're in the SEC. They would have a shot if you're in the Big 12. You would open that pipeline to Texas back up. You would have a hell of a lot easier time winning games because the competition isn't as good. And you'd put yourself in a position, even if you divided it again between North and South. Like, if you went back to the old days and Missouri, Kansas State, Iowa State, West Virginia, and, you know, let's throw in Arkansas. If they're all in the North, if they're all in the Big 12 North, right?
So you're going to make all the South teams feast on one another.
Well, yeah.
Again.
Oh, yeah. Or fine, if you wanted to mix it up and call it, you know, Big 12 A and Big 12 B, or, you know, Legends and Leaders maybe would be good names for the division.
No.
Right? No, you got to do it geographically. It's the only way sports fans understand things, okay? It really is. It's the only way we can understand things. Every division in sports is East and West and Central, and it's the only way we get it, man. And then when, like, Arizona was in the NFC East, it, like, threw everybody. Whoa, I can't believe Arizona's in the East. Why? So if you were to divide the Big 12 North and the Big 12 South again, and you were to have that Big 12 North with Missouri, Arkansas, Kansas, Kansas State, Iowa State, and West Virginia, right? If that's your Big 12 North, doesn't Missouri have a great chance of winning that every single year as opposed to playing in the SEC East with Georgia and Florida on the docket, right?
So you almost said Florida-Georgia line.
Yeah, I did. So if you've got that opportunity, and realignment is going to happen again, if you're Missouri, grab Arkansas and come back to the Big 12. It makes more sense geographically. It makes more sense culturally. And it gives you a better opportunity to win and play for a Big 12 championship every year than being in the SEC. That's what I would do if I was the University of Missouri. Yeah, you're probably going to lose money by leaving the SEC. I get all that. But long range going forward, you have a better shot in football to contend and compete in the Big 12 than you do in the SEC.
Plus, this would be selfishly, I want Missouri basketball to, like, care.
Yeah, right, like, to matter, because it doesn't in the SEC.
No,
nobody,
I mean, they were picked for 13th. You realize they were the 13th preseason pick in the SEC? That's atrocious.
It really is bad.
Mizzou should not be in that position. Like, I don't know why. They don't care about us. They're in the SEC now. They don't care about basketball. I'd like them to care about basketball.
Right.
I think they have a shot in basketball, too. I think they should be a top five SEC basketball program every year.
Every year. We said that when they went to the SEC. Oh, other than Kentucky and maybe Florida, Missouri should be
Tennessee's
one of the Tennessee.
Back, so that's fine.
But you should be a top four or five team every year.
Yes. So, I mean, apparently that's out the window, too. So that stinks. I wish they cared about it.
I just don't understand why Missouri thinks it makes sense right now for them to be in the SEC, other than a financial thing, which is huge, obviously. Other than that, it doesn't make any sense. It makes zero sense to be there, and it makes more sense to be in the Big 12. And I'll tell you what, you'd have a heck of a lot more success, and in 4 years you're looking for another head football coach because you're having success. It just makes too much sense for Missouri to be in the Big 12 again.
We had a coaching move in the NFL yesterday. Ron Rivera out as head coach of the Carolina Panthers. 5-7 this year, 76-63-1 overall, and a Super Bowl appearance in 2015.
Yeah.
Not all that long ago. But David Tepper, the owner of the Panthers, thought it was time.
I just thought it was time, given the way things have gone the last two seasons, to put my stamp on this organization on the football side, as we've done on the business side of the organization. And you know, I think you know, as much respect as I have for Ron, I think a change was appropriate to build things the way I want things to be built.
Cool part was he waited, right?
Yeah,
there was the ownership change. He kind of went through. It wasn't like it was a foregone conclusion. That, I mean, he gave it some time.
Sure,
right? To me, the first thing I look at is you better strike quick.
You got to strike quick.
2015, not all that long ago, right?
No, it's not.
They were in the Super Bowl. Looked like they were on their way to maybe being a perennial contender.
You had a great quarterback in Cam Newton. He was revolutionizing the game.
Now, 2019, your coach is out and your quarterback might be done.
Yeah, he's done. Yeah, like done. Yeah, like he's going to be modeling, you know, fashion.
Stuff goes quick.
Yeah, it happens
NFL.
Fast.
And that to me, like you point to the Chiefs, don't mess around.
Mm-hmm.
Get stuff done. Get stuff accomplished, because sometimes that window can slam very, very quickly.
And that's why last year,
when you don't expect it.
That's why losing in the AFC Championship game last year is very tough to stomach right about now, because you don't know if they're ever going to get back to that level. You'd like to think right now that they're going to get back to that level, but put yourself in the position of the Carolina Panthers in Super Bowl 50. I mean, they get there. They lose to the Denver Broncos. They lose to Peyton Manning. Everybody knew they were going to lose that game, right? It was just that was the way it was going to play out. And you think, wow, here we are. We're at the start of something really good. And then the following year, they come back to earth and they never reach that pinnacle again. And less than three full seasons or four full seasons later, you know, they're firing their head football coach and Cam Newton is nowhere to be found. And it's amazing how things can change on a dime. And that's why it is so important to cash in when you are given that opportunity and when that opportunity presents itself. Because especially in the NFL, there are no guarantees that next year is going to happen. And I think as we move closer and closer to this postseason, each year that the Chiefs make it into the postseason with Patrick Mahomes, you have to look at that as an opportunity to win a championship. And if you don't cash in and win that championship, you have to look at that as a lost opportunity, because opportunities in professional sports are few and far between. And I know I always go back to that 2015 Royals team, but man, they cashed in. They took care of business. They got the job done. And there are so many teams that make it so close that don't cash in and then never get another opportunity to go back and cash that check again. The Royals were very fortunate after 14. They got the opportunity in 15 to go ahead and win that thing and to win that championship, because teams like the Detroit Lions and the Pittsburgh Pirates and, you know, all of these other teams that get so close that don't have that opportunity to cash it in may never get back in your lifetime. And that's where the Carolina Panthers are right now. They were in the Super Bowl, and they haven't really been heard from since. And they fired their head coach yesterday. And like you said, Cam Newton is, I have no idea where he is.
Yeah. It
or if he'll ever play again.
When you least expect it, it can go
just like that. There's no guarantees. I mean, what we're looking at with Patrick Mahomes right now,
we
think it's a long term. It may not be. Who knows?
You never know.
I mean, we saw the knee injury happen, right? Mm-hmm. And we all went, I mean, we got lucky on that one. Very lucky on that one. We got very lucky on that one. And, you know, you're one play, one moment away from it all going up in smoke. And that's why, much like life, when an opportunity presents itself, seize that MF-er, man. You got to seize that thing.
Yeah, and Rivera had a winning record. Not this year, but and this year, 5-7 with an injured quarterback.
Yeah.
With a youngster playing, and you get no slack.
You get right? none.
Now, I mean, it can end quickly. This is for coaches too. Like,
yeah,
your shelf life's not very long.
It's not, unless you're Andy Reid, unless you're Bill Belichick, unless you're Pete Carroll, unless you're Mike Tomlin. Other than that, your shelf life is like a zero. Like, the Giants just hired Pat Shurmur 2 years ago. He's probably going to be out at the end of the season. You're seeing a lot of one and dones now in the NFL. That cat who coached the Arizona Cardinals last year fired after 1 year. Steve Wilkos, the bodyguard for Jerry Springer, gone. You saw this year in Cincinnati, you've got that coach there that nobody knows. He may be gone at the end of the season. Zach Dysert, or whatever his name is, he may be out at the end
Zach
of the year.
Taylor, I believe.
Zach Taylor, is that who it is?
So I believe.
You don't
don't
get,
quote me.
You don't get much of an opportunity.
Hardly knew you.
Yeah, hardly knew you. Didn't even really know your name. You don't get much of an opportunity. I mean, look at Sean McVay a year ago. He's the toast of the town, right? Now, oh, I don't know, Sean McVay can coach. He's no good. Jared Goff stinks. Like, it changes on a dime. And it's really remarkable how under Andy Reid, it really doesn't, though. Like, he's the model of consistency in the National Football League. He really is. Like, we haven't won a championship. I get that. But every year, we're in position to have an opportunity to play in the postseason. Chiefs, and what he did in Philadelphia, Josh, is so rare in the National Football League, to be consistently good, consistently at the top, and consistently in the playoffs. It just doesn't happen. We're getting spoiled right now by Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and this football team.
Coming up at 7, they say this is their only chance to win. So we'll discuss that coming up in just a few minutes.
The steal and the dunk. Wait a minute. The ball was just checking it out.
Oh, remember the Manu play in New York a few years ago? I mean, this goes through, yeah. That was good.
And no, we're not discussing what is a dunk, are we?
Yeah, we are. We are. If you saw it last night,
what James is a catch? Harden took over football for too long. Now we're playing what is a dunk?
What is a dunk? Like, James Harden dunks it last night. It goes through the hoop and comes back out of the hoop, and it looks like an optical illusion, almost like it didn't go through the hoop. And those 2 points ultimately did not count. The Rockets ended up losing in double overtime by 2 points, and that came in regulation that
James
dunk.
Harden goes for 50. Needed 52.
Well, he shot 29% last night, Josh. It is the lowest percentage shooting in the history of the NBA for a player who's scored 50 or more points in the shot clock era dating back to 1952, okay?
Uh-huh.
Combined with Russell Westbrook, the two of them were 18 of 68 shooting last night.
I can't even play the Russell Westbrook alert thing anymore, because I'm with you.
Russell Westbrook
is my least favorite NBA player. I can't stand watching him. I just can't. Yes, he scores a bunch of points. He dribbles around all the time, and he shoots a ton. I'm not I'm just not entertained by James Harden basketball.
He was 11 of 38 last night. Russell Westbrook was 7 of 30. Combined, they were 18 of 68. They were 5 of 26 from three-point land. And everybody's going to sit here and protest, and they're going to protest this thing, and they think it may be overturned.
Westbrook had a triple-double as well.
He was 7 of 30, 1 of 6 from three-point land.
He went 7 of 30 for the field and still had a triple-double.
Yeah, that's just bad.
10 rebounds, 10 assists, and 19 points. This is why the Russell Westbrook love, I just don't understand. The guy's a fraud. You go combined of your two best players, 18 of 68, and you're complaining about a dunk that was missed by the officials. Now, it should have counted, no question about it. But your two stars can't combine for 18 of 68 and expect to win a basketball game. I mean, that's just gross. That's bad. And that's why I've got this, I don't want to say grudge against Russell Westbrook, but I look at Russell Westbrook with my eyes wide open because the man took 30 shots and he made 7 of them, 1 of 6 shooting from the three-point line. How is that helping your team? How is that helping your team when you got a guy named Capella going 9 for 9? Get it to that guy. That guy was 9 for 9 last night.
He only had 9 shots in him, though.
Well,
so.
He played 45 minutes. Get it to him more. Let that guy shoot. Or A. Rivers off the bench, 6 of 8. Let him shoot the ball a little bit more, score a couple of more points for you. Like that to me, right then and there, man, Russell Westbrook and James Harden are the two biggest ball hogs out there that bog down offenses. I think once you lose and get rid of Russell Westbrook, you do good things. I mean, KD went on and won a championship without the guy.
James Harden won't.
No, James Harden won't because they're the same player.
They're the same thing, yeah.
They're hogging the ball from each other.
Not a fan.
68 combined shots, and they made 18 of them last night. And we're complaining about a dunk. That was missed, but Houston's protesting this game. Like, the league's looking at it, and they could revert back to that bucket and count it and end the game after regulation and say Houston gets the win. It's going to be interesting to see how this thing plays out.
What is a dunk? 610 Sports Radio, KCSB Kansas City, WDAF HD2 Kansas City, radio.com sports station. Your 7 o'clock hour prize, how about a free month at the Martial Arts Institute in Overland Park? That's right. That's our 7 o'clock hour prize just for listening. The next time you hear this,
fight.
Fight. Be caller number.
Let's go with caller number 9 today.
I figured you'd go like 38.
No, 38, 16 of 38. 18 of 68.
Yeah. That'd be terrible on my part.
18 of 68 for those two
that's
guys.
Gross. So caller number what?
9
to 913-576-7610. And you can win a free month at the Martial Arts Institute in Overland Park. You've been obsessed with our sister station this week, WEEI in Boston.
I enjoy listening to hear the opponent. I do it every week. I listen in and hear what the opponents are saying about the upcoming game. I think it's interesting
to hear.
Did
they catch your Trubisky
thing
yet? No,
I think those people are not long.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
No, my Tom Trubisky stuff, no.
Yeah. Okay, good. Good. I don't want that to catch on.
No.
I just don't.
I didn't start it. It started with ESPN calling him Tom Trubisky. Yeah. So
they can be mad at ESPN, maybe not us.
But I think this game seems so simple on Sunday for the Kansas City Chiefs and for the New England Patriots.
Very simple.
And really, you just have to go out there and stop the run. And I know we're asking a lot from the Chiefs because they haven't done it this year, but we're also asking a lot from the New England Patriots. And they were talking about it yesterday on WEEI and saying the only way to win this football game on Sunday is to run the football, effectively run the football. And I looked at some of the numbers that the Patriots have this year, and, you know, there's not a lot of great running performances by them this year. In fact, they've only gone over 100 yards in a game 5 times this year, but 4 of those 5 they ended up winning. 4 of those 5 turned into victories for the New England Patriots. And so I think right now, much like WEEI is saying about their team up there, and it's like meltdown mode. Like, they're actually dealing in real world problems now, finally, for the first time in 20 years in New England when it comes, you know, to their football team. But I think they're right about that. I think the only way, in my opinion, that the New England Patriots can beat the Kansas City Chiefs this year and this week is to run the football effectively. And whether or not they can do that, I don't know. Whether it's Sony Michel, whether it's James White, whether it's Brandon Bolden, whether it's Rex Burkhead, they were talking about even lining up tight ends in the backfield and giving it to tight ends and letting them run the football. Like they have gone to the extreme in New England this week of however you can run the football against the Kansas City Chiefs. Come out in the wishbone and let's run the football out of the wishbone. Let's go, you know, wing T formation and see what we can do out of that. Some of these old school formations that, you know, we were running in high school back in the 90s. Like, those are the type of formations that New England may come out in this week, because if everybody's talking about it and everybody's recognizing it, you know Bill Belichick has clearly been on top of this. And I would expect to see a huge dose of the running game, not only because that's the best way to attack the Chiefs' defense and in the Art of War by Sun Tzu, which he quotes all the time, attack the weaknesses. That's what you're going to have to do, but it also prevents the Chiefs from being on the field. And I think this year, much different than we saw a year ago where it became a shootout between these two teams, I have a feeling this is going to be a lower scoring game, and the Chiefs are going to have to find a way against this Patriots defense to have to make a play late to try to win this football game. I think they will. I think they win this football game. I'm not doubting it, but I think we're going to see a lot of running and a lot of trying to ugly it up with the New England Patriots this week against the Chiefs, something that they haven't really done all season
long.
Funny,
there'll be the battle for who can establish kind of just basic football, right?
Yeah, I think that's kind of what it is.
Move chains, get first downs.
Yeah, ugly it up. Use your offensive linemen against their defensive line. Let's see what we can do. Let's play some old school style football and see ultimately who comes out on top. But that was the big topic for them yesterday. They're like, if we don't run the football, we're not going to win. And I totally agree. I think that's the only way that the New England Patriots can effectively stop the Kansas City Chiefs and beat the Kansas City Chiefs is by running the football. And that's why this week, if I'm Spags, I'm loading up 8 and I'm loading up 9 in that box and saying, all right, 2 safeties, Tyrann Mathieu, Honey Badger. Let's go with Sorensen. Let's go with Juan Thornhill at times. Whoever the safety's back there, we're going to put a lot on you in this passing game because we're committed to stopping the run. And if the Chiefs can go out there and stop the run and shut down the running game of this offense, I think the Chiefs win this thing going away because I don't think Tom Trubisky can throw the football at all on the Kansas City Chiefs because they just don't have anybody right now that he can count on. There's no reliable wide receiver other than
300 yards last
other week. Than Julian Edelman, who I think you double and you take him out of the
game.
I mean,
I know we want to. Oh, they're done. They don't have any weapon. He threw for 300 yards last week, so he's got some targets.
Well, they were also playing from a deep deficit, so they threw the ball a lot.
Yeah, and they might be doing that again this week.
They may, but
I mean, I think the Chiefs have. There's a very good opportunity. The Chiefs try to put up points early and they're playing catch up with the Chiefs and have to throw the football. And you play the design that Houston did, which was, score on them right away.
Yeah.
And make them come back from behind. So, I mean, I think their best opportunity is clearly to try to run the football. And I don't think that they're terrible at that. I don't know. They've overly committed to it, kind of like the Chiefs have, right?
They haven't. Yeah.
So if they do, can they have success? Well, I think they'll try. So I think for both teams, it's, well, I mean, if you're the Patriots, if the Chiefs want to try to run, you want to try to stop them early. They're really good on third down, right?
Yeah.
So get the Chiefs a third and long, and they'll probably take their chances with that. So and then the flip side, New England's got to try to run the football against the Chiefs because everybody else has. Why would you go away from that blueprint if you're Bill Belichick? You're not going to reinvent the wheel. You're going to again take advantage of what other people have done to the Chiefs. And that's run the football. So I fully expect a full complement of them running the ball, and then. You know, I'm not discounting that Tom is going to figure some stuff out this week.
Mm-hmm.
They got targets. He didn't throw for 300 yards he wasn't Giselle-ing it up and throwing and catching it himself.
Somebody did say that yesterday. I'm going to pull a Giselle here and say that, Tom can't throw it and catch it himself, But they had callers like ripping Tom Brady yesterday too.
I'm sure it started. Finally started to sour there because they're seeing the end of things.
They're from Boston. What do you expect?
And it's what have you done for me lately? That's fine.
I mean, it's crazy though. That's first world problems though, bro.
For sure.
I mean, that's first world problems, man. Like, seriously, I'm listening to these guys. Tommy doesn't throw the ball any well anymore. Tommy. Like, are you kidding? You're ripping the greatest quarterback of all time? That's where they are right now at a 10-2.
Is anybody else calling him Tom Trubisky?
Not up there. They're not. But 10-2, Josh. They're 10-2.
Correct.
And they've got the greatest of all time. Not playing as well this year, but he doesn't have his cuddly tight end with him. And so you're seeing some kind of, cracks in the foundation, if you will. And people are losing their minds up in Boston. It's insane right now.
Speaking of quarterbacks, the Athletic's Jay Glazer was taking some questions about QBs.
Yeah, he had his mailbag, and somebody asked him, is Sean Payton currently high on any college quarterback like he was on Patrick Mahomes? And Jay Glazer says, no, I don't see him ever being higher on a guy than he was on Patrick Mahomes. Nope, there are a lot of teams that said he was the best prospect at that position they had ever seen. And I'm thinking to myself, that's the first time I'm hearing this, and revisionist history is wonderful. We knew the Saints wanted him. We knew the Chiefs had to jump the Saints to get Patrick Mahomes, because they were going to take Patrick Mahomes, even with Drew Brees down there. That was a fact. They were taking Patrick Mahomes if they had the opportunity to. That's why the Chiefs had to jump up to number 10. That was the only team on the board that was going to draft Patrick Mahomes. But if a lot of teams said he was the best quarterback prospect they had ever seen, why did 9 teams pass on this guy? Why did the Chicago Bears take Mitchell Trubisky? Why did all of these other organizations pass on Patrick Mahomes if they thought he was the greatest quarterback prospect that they had ever seen?
Quote unquote, not Chicago. They weren't part of a lot of teams. A lot of teams did not include the Bears.
I guess. I mean, it must not have, because if you're one of those teams that passed on Patrick Mahomes in the first round of that draft, I mean, you got to really be, you know, well, kicking yourself.
The Bills.
I mean, you look at the Cleveland Browns.
Why did the Bills trade out? I mean,
why did the Bills trade out? Yeah, they got their guy now. Hey, it's okay. They're doing things fine right now. But you look at Cleveland taking Myles Garrett. Would you rather have Myles Garrett or would you rather have Patrick Mahomes? You'd rather have Patrick Mahomes. Would you rather have Mitchell Trubisky or Patrick Mahomes? You'd rather have Patrick Mahomes. Would you rather have Solomon Thomas that the 49ers drafted at number 3 or Patrick Mahomes? You'd rather have Mahomes. Leonard Fournette with Jacksonville.
They didn't need a quarterback.
Did they had already trade for Jimmy Garoppolo at the time?
Isn't this his fourth year?
Has it really been that long already?
I think it was that season is when they traded for Jimmy G.
Oh, okay, but if you think Mahomes is the best you've ever seen prospect coming out, why not still?
Yeah, why not?
Well, Leonard Fournette.
Well, because they would fall in that a lot, not a lot.
Okay, Leonard Fournette with Jacksonville. Who do the Jags have a quarterback? You can't tell me they were in love with somebody else at that point in time.
And they had Bortles.
Tennessee Titans took Corey Davis at number 5. Are you telling me they were in love with whoever they had at number 5, Mariota? No. Jamal Adams, he's a nice player for the Jets, but are you telling me the Jets wouldn't be better off with Patrick Mahomes? The Los Angeles Chargers took Mike Williams, wide receiver. Are you telling me they wouldn't have been better off with Patrick Mahomes? Carolina Panthers have Christian McCaffrey. You can make an argument there. And then the Cincinnati Bengals take John Ross, wide receiver, at number 9 at the pick right before Patrick Mahomes. Are you telling me the Cincinnati Bengals would have rather had Andy Dalton than Patrick Mahomes? So all of these people that are now coming out of the woodwork, it's great revision. Well, we thought Patrick Mahomes was the best prospect ever at quarterback. Really? Then why did 9 teams pass on that? Because I can make the case for every single one of those teams that they made the wrong selection at that time, regardless of who you have at quarterback, by not taking Patrick Mahomes in that spot. And the Kansas City Chiefs and Brett Veach give them a lot of credit for jumping up and knowing that the New Orleans Saints were going to take Patrick Mahomes. He would have been a New Orleans Saint had the Kansas City Chiefs not pulled off that trade and jumped the Saints at that point in time. And I know that from talking to folks now, you know, years later, as the stories start to come out, Josh, they knew that there was one team that they needed to jump over and there was one team that they needed to get past to get Mahomes, and that was the New Orleans Saints, and they were able to do that. And I don't think enough credit's given for understanding the board and where guys were going to go.
Oh, it's perfect. Perfectly played.
I mean, the guy.
Perfectly played hand.
And as soon as they made that move, you know the New Orleans Saints went, son of a gun, will settle for Marshawn Lattimore.
But a best prospect and they'd seen in blah, 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 should be the number one pick.
Should be the number one pick.
Yeah, right? It shouldn't get past
anybody. I mean, look at these teams that are – Cleveland's always looking for a quarterback. The Bears are always looking for a quarterback. The Jags are always looking for a quarterback. The Jets are always looking for a quarterback. The Bengals are always looking for a quarterback. These are franchises that had that opportunity – that pass that could have changed the face of their operation drafting Mahomes.
Good with it all. Brandon in Olathe wins a free month at the Martial Arts Institute in Overland Park. That is our 7 o'clock hour prize just for listening. Who's under fire? Next.
Fesco in the morning.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.